study that God needs people of courage. God needs people of courage. We'll begin with courage defined. Let's define the word. What is courage? According to the Random House Dictionary, that's the one that I have, courage is the quality of mind or spirit that enables a person to face difficulties, danger, pain, etc., with firmness and without fear. Now, most people say that courage is not necessarily not having fear, but being able to overcome that fear and do what's necessary anyway. And I think even though that's not necessarily the definition says without fear, I think all of us would understand that even people who we think of as courageous, there is that fear there, but they have conquered that fear. They're in control of that fear rather than allowing the fear to control them. So when we say that God needs people of courage, we're saying that He needs people who are able to conquer their fears and not give in to them, not allow those fears to control them. Famous quote by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, "We have nothing to fear but fear itself." As Christians, I don't think that could be any more true than it is for us as Christians. Oh, there are many things that people who are not Christians have to fear. Now, he was trying to build courage for the problems that the nation was facing at that time, but as people who were not Christians have many things they need to fear. But as Christians, we have nothing to fear except that fear itself. If we give in to that fear, then we become timid, we become weak, and we become incapable of doing the things that God calls upon us to do. We can't give in to fear. The scripture reading that was read to us in 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind." God has given us a spirit of power, courage, boldness. We use those kinds of words to describe that person who isn't afraid, knows the dangers. Now, you know, someone who goes into a situation and doesn't realize the dangers of it or doesn't know the dangers, we just call that person foolish or ignorant or foolhardy. We use terms like that to describe somebody like that. But when someone knows the dangers, they accept those dangers, and they have the courage to go on anyway. We use all sorts of words to describe those individuals. Courageous, brave, heroes, bold. We use those kinds of words to describe that individual that knows the dangers, but goes on knowing those dangers, in spite of those dangers, to do what needs to be done. We think about policemen and firemen and soldiers, and we think about them doing the things that they have to do, facing death, facing all sorts of danger. And they do that even though they know the danger is there, because they know the job has to be done. So as we go into our lesson, let us observe that courage, first of all, comes from the knowledge that God is with us. Now we know that the people in the world have courage to do all sorts of things in those areas, but we're talking about a specific kind of courage here. We're talking about the kind of courage that God wants us to have. And that courage comes from the knowledge that God is with us. There's several scriptures that point this out, and we'll look at a couple of them. First, we need to see that we can have courage because God is with us. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." This was the admonition given to Joshua as he's about to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. Be strong. Go out there and do what you have to do, knowing that God is with you. In Deuteronomy 31, verses 6 and 7, a similar situation with Moses calling Joshua to him. But notice what he says in verse 6. Be strong and of a good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. And then in verse 7, Moses calls Joshua to him in front of everybody. And he says, be strong and of good courage, for thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them, and thou shalt cause them to inherit it. Here we see the reason that they could be strong and of good courage. Notice what he says, be strong, of good courage, fear not, nor be afraid, for, or in other words, because, why can we go and be strong and be of good courage? Why is it that we can go in and not be afraid of them? Because the Lord thy God goes with you. That's why. And we need to know that today we have that same assurance from God. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Now you know, it would be one thing to be able to be bold and to be brave and to have courage if we knew that nothing could happen to us. If we knew that no human being could harm us, why would it be easy to be courageous then? Now think about the old comic books and the movies and shows about Superman. Well, Superman was never afraid of anything. Why was he never afraid? Because he knew, well, those bullets weren't going to hurt him. But see, that's not really courage. That's kind of like I'm not afraid of a little gnat, because I know that gnat's not going to hurt me. True courage comes in knowing that there is danger, and facing that danger and still not being afraid. That's where courage comes from. And here we have, we see in verse 6 of Hebrews 13, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. And notice what he says, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Notice he didn't say, I don't have to be afraid because man can't hurt me. He said, because the Lord is my helper, I won't be afraid of what man can do to me, or will do to me. You have to realize that God did not promise the early Christians that they couldn't be harmed, that they couldn't be killed even, that they wouldn't face torture, in fact, or persecution. In fact, Jesus told his disciples that they would face those things, but in spite of that, be courageous. See, boldness is easier with God. When you know, when you have that knowledge that God is with you. In John chapter 7 and verse 26, we see this in Jesus. Now Jesus knew that he was going to have to die on the cross. He knew that from the very earliest time. He knew what his business on earth was and what the conclusion of it was going to be. But despite that, notice what it says in John 7:26. We read this before class this morning in our scripture reading. But lo, he speaketh boldly, and they say nothing unto him. Do the rulers know indeed that this is the very Christ? The key here is, though, that it didn't matter whether the rulers knew he was the Christ or not. Jesus knew he was the Christ. And he knew he was God's Son, and because he knew who he was, he wasn't afraid. Did he know he was going to have to face death? Yes. Did he know it was going to be a cruel and painful ordeal? Yes. Now, in his imagination, he couldn't have imagined probably what the actual experience was like. But we know that he suffered as a result even of the knowing that it was coming. In the garden, he was sweating drops of blood because he knew what was coming. But did he run away and hide? See, that's courage. To face what you've got to face and go through it because you know you are. We're God's children as well. Not in the special way that Jesus was, but through adoption, we are the sons and daughters of God. And because of that, if we know who we are, then we can have the courage to stand, regardless of what goes on about us. I think about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and we talked about this with the young people a couple months ago. Here were these three young fellows who were about to be thrown into the fiery furnace, but the king gave them one more chance. Now, if you'll just bow down and worship this false god, I'll let you go. And they said to him, our God is able to deliver us. But notice the next part, because the next part is what's really impressive. It shows their true courage. They said, but if he does not, we still won't bow down and worship your false god. They knew that he was able to deliver them, but they knew also that it was within the realm of possibility that he would not deliver them and that they would die a fiery death. But they said, even knowing that, we will not bow down. See, that's courage. Knowing the danger that awaits us. But because of the knowledge that God is with us, we have that boldness, that courage that we need. And then we see that this kind of courage can grow by prayer. In Acts chapter 4, we have a situation where the disciples have come together and they're being threatened, they're being persecuted. Notice what they say in Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 29. This is in their prayer to God. And now, Lord, behold their threatening, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Notice, they didn't ask God, please don't let us have to face this trouble. They said, let us have the courage to speak boldly anyway, despite all those threatenings that they're spouting against us. And God granted that prayer request. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Don't you think that the same God that we serve, the same God that they serve, can today give us the courage that we need? Can today give us the strength and the boldness to go out there and do what needs to be done and to stand up for what's right? You bet he can. Then secondly, we see, let us observe that courage requires facing and overcoming our fears. You see, it's easy to talk when there's no threat. You see it all the time. Kids are especially good at this. Oh, they get together and talk, well, you know what I do with such a, well, I'm going to just do such a thing. I'll tell so-and-so, and I'll do this. And then they get in the situation, and they start, you know, bawling like a little baby. and they back down, and they run scared. And a lot of times adults do that, too. Well, when I see so-and-so, I'm going to just tell them how. And then when they face up to them, they can't say a word. Can't even look them in the eye. They're afraid. You see, it's easy to talk big when there's no threat right there. We can all talk about how, well, I have faced down that persecution. I never deny the Lord. Look at Peter. Lord, I'll never deny you. Even if I have to die, I'll never deny you. A few hours later, I don't know who he is. Never seen him before in my life. You see, when there's no threat, it's easy to talk big. But see, that's not courage. That's blustering. That's being full of a lot of hot air. That's bragging. That's bravado. You see, there's a difference in bravado and bravery. They may start out sounding the same, but in the end, one is real and the other one's fake. We need to have true bravery. True courage. You see, true courage requires facing and overcoming our fears. Now, I can safely say that I have never been afraid of jumping out of an airplane. That's because I've never jumped out of an airplane. I guarantee you, though, if I got up there with or without a parachute and was going to have to jump out, I'd be afraid. But I'd have to overcome that fear if the plane was crashing or something like that. Now, I think I could, under those circumstances, overcome that fear. But just to jump out of it for the fun of it, like some people do, I don't think I could ever do that. But if it was necessary, I hope that I would be able to do it, to have the courage to overcome that fear. But it's easy to say, I'm not afraid of something that I've never faced. But when I face that thing down and overcome that fear, that's a different situation. And the question that we have to ask ourselves is, who do we fear? Do we fear God or man? Who do we fear? Matthew 10 and verse 28, Jesus says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." You see, we've got a lot of people who fear the wrong thing. They're afraid of what man can do to them. But Jesus said, don't be afraid of what man can do to you. Be afraid of what God can do to you. We need to have our fear properly directed. Because if we have a fear of the Lord, then there is nothing else that we need to have a fear of. There is nothing that is beyond His control. A little statement in the bulletin this morning that I ran across this past week, and I thought, well, how appropriate. Quit telling God how big your storm is or how big your problems are and start telling your storm how big your God is. See, we've got it backwards. God's faced down every storm that we can imagine already. Who come whining and crying to Him? Maybe it's because the God we believe in isn't that God. You see, if we believe in the God who's big enough to handle all of the things that He's handled already, why are we afraid of the little problems we're facing? We think He can't handle those. He's handled far greater difficulties than anything we will ever face. But then, thirdly, we see, let us observe that courage is necessary to please God. Now, we need to think about that. Courage is necessary to please God. When we say something is necessary, that means that we can't be saved without it. We talk about baptism is necessary. You know, that means we can't be saved without it. Faith is necessary. We can't be saved without it. Repentance is necessary. We can't be saved without it. Courage is necessary in order to please God. You see, we cannot be afraid and be worrywart and be scared of everything and cowards and expect that we are going to be saved. In fact, in the book of Revelation, right along with liars and murderers, one of the things that's listed as being tossed into the lake of fire rather than getting to go through the pearly gate is the fearful. God demands courage. We're commanded to fear not. Luke 12 and verse 32, Jesus said, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Do not fear. Fear not, little flock. Jesus, the good shepherd, telling all of us as His little sheep, don't be afraid. God is going to bring you the kingdom. God's going to give you the kingdom. He established that kingdom. And He's brought it. And now it's here for us to have. To be a part of. But then, secondly, there we see that we ought to speak boldly. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, Paul is asking the Ephesians to pray for him, and praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bond, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Now think about the courage that Paul has asked for. He's in prison. He's in bond. He's in chains because of the gospel. And he says he ought to speak boldly. Well, how much more than those of us who aren't even in any trouble for trying to speak the gospel? How much more should we be able to speak boldly? We don't even have the same thing to fear that he had. He was in prison. He was in chains. And he still knew that he ought to speak boldly. We need to speak boldly as well. Notice what he said, that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We all ought to speak boldly. And no, we need to make sure we've got our facts straight before we do. Well, just go out there speaking boldly, not knowing what we're talking about. We need to study, show ourselves approved, but then we need to speak boldly those things that we know. And then we see that courage stops backsliding and denying the faith. Courage stops backsliding and denying the faith. A lot of times, the reason that people deny the faith, or the reason that they just slide on out the back door, is because they're afraid of something. A lot of times it's because they're afraid that their friends and family won't accept them. And in the early centuries, it was because they were afraid that somebody might find out and kill them. There are a lot of reasons and a lot of things that people are afraid of that cause them to just deny the faith. See, courage will stop that. Courage will say, I know so-and-so is going to reject me. I know my parents may disown me. I know my friends may never talk to me again. But going back to who do we fear? But I know that God will be pleased with me if I remain faithful to Him. So I'm going to have the courage to do that. But along these lines, it's interesting for us to note that we can give courage to others. Sometimes we think about a person who's courageous as, well, they were just born that way. That's some sort of an innate trait. You know, some people are just brave and some people aren't. That's not true. We can give courage to others. We can encourage other people. That's what that word means, encourage. It means to give courage to. Notice the way this terminology is used in Acts 28, verse 15. And from this, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as Appii Forum and the three taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God and took courage. You see, by those brethren coming to support him, it gave him courage. He took courage from that. Maybe his courage was waning a little bit. Maybe it was weakening. But when he saw the brethren, he was reminded again of why he was doing the things that he was doing. And it gave him courage. We can do the same thing for our fellow brothers and sisters. When people are having difficulties, when they're having struggles and trouble, when we be there to support them, it gives them courage to know that they can make it through. We must encourage others. It's a commandment. Hebrews 3 and verse 13. The King James uses the word exhort. The other translations use the word encourage. But exhort and encourage are synonyms. They mean basically the same thing. It says, but exhort one another daily, or encourage one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. See, we need to give courage to others. We need to exhort them. We need to give them strength, remind them, as these brethren did Paul in Acts 28:15, remind them what they're fighting for and what the long-term goal is, and encourage one another through that. The word encourage is not even used in the New Testament in the King James, but it's used a few times in the Old Testament. One of the places it's used in the Old Testament is talking about, in the book of Proverbs, people who are evil and wicked, who encourage each other in their evil schemes. Well, you know, if the evil people are encouraging themselves in their evil scheme, then we certainly need to be encouraging each other to do good. It's just good common sense. And then we see that boldness or courage is needed to get mercy. In order to get mercy, notice in Hebrews 4:16, what the Hebrew writer says. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now notice what the Hebrew writer is saying here. Saying if we want mercy and grace, he says, let us come boldly that we may get that. Now, notice he uses the term that we may. Just because somebody comes boldly before God doesn't necessarily mean they're going to get it. Some people are arrogant. And they're not sorry for their sins, and aren't willing to repent, and have no way of getting mercy, even if they come boldly. But he's saying to us, if we're ready to honestly repent, and we know that we're sinners, and we know we're in sin, we know we need the mercy and the grace of God, come boldly. James says, let not the double-minded man think that he shall receive any mistake. For he is is unstable in all his ways. We come straightforward boldly before God, and he says, in that way we may receive mercy. If we come fearfully, with doubt, and a lack of faith, and timidity, we need not think that God's going to respond to that. You look at the great men in the Bible who came before God. You look at Abraham, where he confronted God and discussed with God about the possible salvation of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. Would we have the courage to do that? The Lord now, just what if there are only 10? And he talked God down from 50 all the way down to 10. And then we think about Moses. Now Moses is said was the meekest man that ever lived. And yet that same meek man confronted God when God was angry. Now, you know, it's one thing to confront somebody when they're calm. But to confront somebody when they're angry, and especially God. But Moses confronted God when he was angry. He was about to destroy the people. And Moses said, Lord, don't do that. Think about what people will say if you destroy your people. Don't do that. And he talked the Lord out of it. Let's talk about boldness, courage, to face the Lord like that. And yet these are two of the greatest men that ever lived. Well, why was that? Because they had the kind of relationship with God that they knew they could come to him and talk to him. And we need to have that kind of relationship with God, that we can come before him and talk to him. Not as equal, we'll never be his equal, but knowing that he loves us and that he cares for us and that he's concerned about what we need. As we conclude, it takes courage to stand for truth in a world full of error. It does. And more courage to stand for truth in a world that persecutes the truth. We're fast approaching that time. Now maybe I preach on this too much, but I see the direction that our nation is headed. And maybe it won't happen in all of our lifetimes. But somewhere, not far in the future, probably in some of our lifetimes, there will most likely be that occasion where the church is persecuted in this country. Already we see the beginning of that kind of thought. You know, when we see that people get in trouble for wearing a necklace with a cross on it. That's no big deal. But it's heading that way. When they start to say, well now, you know, y'all can't talk against homosexuality. I don't want to hear preaching against those kinds of things. It's headed that way. And it won't be long before the wicked actually begin to actively persecute the righteous. Do you have the courage to survive? If it happens tomorrow, if there were laws passed that said that we couldn't meet together anymore. You see, we don't even sometimes have the courage to stand up to a little bit of ridicule and mockery. How will we stand when there's real persecution? You see, God needs people of courage. People who are going to say, I know the dangers, I know what's happening, I don't care, I'm going to be faithful anyway. I'm going to do what's right regardless of the consequences. You see, it's easy to go to church and to be a Christian when it's accepted, when it's even popular. And down here in what's often termed the Bible Belt, it's pretty popular to call yourself a Christian and to think of yourself and to go to church even. But it's not that way everywhere, and it may not be that way here for long. How will we respond then? Do we have the courage? If we don't have the courage to live for God when we're not facing persecution, how will we have the courage to live for Him when we are? We need to examine ourselves. If it need be that we grow in our courage. We study how that can happen. Prayer can help us to grow in our courage. Other Christians can help to encourage us to do that. But we've got to seek it out. It won't happen just by itself. If you're here and you have a need to respond to the invitation today, maybe you haven't had the courage to obey the gospel. You may need to take that courage today. You may need to make that decision that you will obey God. If you're here and you're a Christian, but perhaps you haven't had the courage to stand up for those things you know you should, you too may need to respond to the invitation. Ask prayer for more courage. You do what's right. If you're here and you haven't need to respond, we ask that you do so as we stand.